The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold, your king is coming to you. Thus the prophet Zechariah had written some 550 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Humble and mounted on a donkey, the foal of a beast of burden. Your king is coming to you. Matthew explains that Zechariah had written in prophetic anticipation concerning Jesus. What occurred that Sunday so long ago as Jesus rode from Bethphage into Jerusalem was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. It had been a long wait before Jesus was conceived by a word from God in the womb of a virgin, then born in the city of David and laid in a manger crib. Despite the prophecies, this was not what God's people had expected. A king should be born in a palace, not a stable, they knew. They were expecting another David, a mighty warrior who would free his people from their enemies. That's how they welcomed him as he entered into Jerusalem, paving the road with their cloaks, waving the palms of victory. They acclaimed him as the Son of David, the Lord's own representative, and shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us now, deliver us." Jesus is indeed great David's greater son. And he was coming to Jerusalem to deliver his people from their enemies, but not in the way they expected. He gathered no army. He led no revolution against Rome. Instead, he submitted himself to the will of wicked Jewish leaders and authorities sent from Rome. More than that, he submitted himself to his Father's will and drank the cup of his wrath against sin. Jesus' royal robe was the cast-off cloak of a soldier. His crown, not of gold, but plaited from thorns and stained with his blood. His subjects cruelly beat him and mocked him and raised him up on a cross to die. And in response he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Your king is coming to you. How many back then, how many still today, have little use for such a king? The crowds that welcomed Jesus into the city with such great expectation on Sunday were sorely disappointed. Even his own disciples, apart from John, were nowhere to be found on Friday. Who needs a king whose throne is a cross? No one. No one but sinners. This king who came humbly and in weakness was coming to deliver sinners from death and hell by taking their punishment on himself. He was born under the law to redeem those under law, to deliver them, to deliver you by dying under its curse in your place. And he did it. Before he died, he announced his victory with the cry, "It is finished." Sin's power vanquished, Satan defeated, death has met its match and lost. This humble king has won the victory over every enemy that oppressed his people. One of our Advent hymns puts it well. Once he came in blessing, all our sins redressing, came in likeness lowly, Son of God most holy, bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. Your king is coming to you. The glorious truth of this prophecy wasn't exhausted when the Son of God took on the form of a servant, was born a man and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Still today, your king is coming to you, humbly. He comes in simple, ordinary words, written in scripture, proclaimed by frail and sinful messengers. Ordinary human language going from mouth to ear. Yet when the word of God comes to you in human language, it delivers all of the gifts Jesus would give to you. A man speaks the words, "I forgive you all your sins." But in, with, and under his voice is the power of God that does what has been said. That declaration is just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ, your dear Lord, dealt with you himself. Having heard those words, you go down to your house justified. Jesus comes today in simple water as well. His cleansing work and holiness sprinkled on and poured over sinners, bringing forgiveness, new life, and salvation. St. Paul explains it very simply in his letter to Titus. God saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In the waters of holy baptism, Jesus comes to save you and to clothe you with himself, so that now when the Father looks at you, he amazingly and wonderfully declares, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Your king comes into your body today, not just by way of the ear, but also by way of your mouth. He comes in that risen, ascended body, hidden in bread. He enters into you so that his blood courses through your veins. The kingdom of God truly is within you. As he comes in his true body given for you and blood shed for you, he unites you with himself and the Father in the bond of the Spirit. He makes you whole. He makes you his. This coming of Jesus, your King, even today, puts urgency into his word through St. Paul, which we heard earlier. Murder, adultery, theft, false witness and covetousness certainly have no place in the life of one who has been united with the King. The hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, St. Paul writes urgently. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Think how many times you have marked this first Sunday in Advent. The beginning of a new church year is a reminder that you are now another year closer to the great day of Jesus' return. The night is indeed far gone. The day is at hand. Who knows whether you will be here, whether the world will be here in just one more year. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What the poet says is true. Now he gently leads us. With himself he feeds us. Precious food from heaven, pledge of peace here given, manna that will nourish our souls that they may flourish. Behold, your King is coming to you. Behold, he is coming in the clouds, St. John writes, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Humbly he came into Jerusalem. Humbly he comes to you now, into your ears and your mouths. In the end, though, his coming will be with power and with great glory. And no one will miss that he is indeed King. King of every king and Lord over all lords. Your King is coming to you. But do not fear. Because he came to win salvation for you and comes today to deliver that salvation into your ears and into your mouth, when he comes again, you will hear him say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What joy believers will know in that day. For then faith will turn to sight, and together we will all experience salvation in all its fullness. Behold, your King is coming to you. So straighten up and raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near. No wonder we join in praying today, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance." Your King, your Jesus, is coming to you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.